Some of you may know that I grew up in a family business run by my dad, a grocery store, but it had a butcher shop. It was known far and wide on the Southwest side, and I know that quality means something, and that's why we drive 2 hours from Northwest Indiana all the way to the Northwest side of the city of Chicago to Joseph's Finest Meats at 7101 West Addison Street. Before you go there, you got to be prepared, so I've got a list for you. Do you have a pen? Italian sausage, hot. Italian sausage, mild. Get pork chops, but order them thick. And of course, get some beef too, like bone-in ribeye steaks. Nothing like it. And if you don't know exactly what to get or how to cook it, ask Ben or Sal and tell them John Cass sent you. And I'd like to tip my hat to Joseph, the patriarch, the owner, the founder who built this store for his family with his two sons, Ben and Sal. In his mid-90s, he had serious heart surgery and he made a triumphant return. He loves his place, and I do too. And so does anyone who shops there. It's like family. They care about the details. They care about you. Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. A family tradition since 1977, and a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. So it's good to be back here. Dennis Prager and Victor Davis Hanson have been honest about their health issues, and they've inspired me to be honest about mine. You know, I've been gone for weeks. Jeff's been putting together the podcast. I've had great writers banding together at John Cass News, writing columns for the site. Steve Huntley, Paul Ballas, Chief Tom Weitzel, Marie T. Sullivan, Corey Franklin, Bill Melanides, Greg Gansky, Mike Houlihan, Hooley, James Benakis, my friend James, David Bittinger, the Honorable Judge Brown. All of them have gotten together to help out. But why did they have to help out? Because I was gone. I had a stroke. Yeah. People don't like to talk about their health. They want to hide it. But I've been so inspired by Dr. Hanson and Dennis Prager that I thought I would tell the truth because they inspired me. All right. So I came back all triumphant after the lecture at Hillsdale College. I was so full of myself. I was so proud of myself. The audience was very involved in the talk that I gave about the loss of trust in legacy media. And then you know what happened to me? The stroke hit. I was in the washroom at Midway, and there's a line of sinks on one side of the washroom. And just take those in some sort of Harry Potter nightmare. Take those sinks and make them go straight up in the air or on an angle. And I was holding on to them so that I wouldn't fall. And guess what? I fell. And here I am laughing at myself. You fool, John. I've even said the words to my utter infamy and shame. I've fallen and I can't get up, just like the stupid commercial. But you know, those commercials aren't that stupid because they reflect a real condition for people. And I was on the ground and the paramedics came in. I'm shouting. And one of them says, John, like he knows me. He says, don't you know me? I'm Jerry from the store. Now, our old grocery store, 58th and Pulaski, is not too far from Midway, right? But Jerry from the store, a good and loyal stock boy who worked for my father and my brother and uncle, Jerry from the store helped me. He wouldn't let me get up. I was so upset. I'm like, Jerry, let me get up. He would not. They got me into a stretcher. They took me to the hospital. Now, here's where the weekend from hell begins, because I was at Christ Hospital, It was, you know what? Let's make it clear that it wasn't the weekend. I'd come home on a Tuesday, and that's when it happened. I'm in the hallway, and I'm looking at these nurses, and they have a blank expression on their face. They have been overwhelmed and broken by the system. The system, they didn't sign up, I don't think, to be cruel. They didn't sign up at Christ to be, I want to be a cruel person, be indifferent to the suffering of people. But they had to do that, I think, in my opinion, because they had to preserve sanity. They're overworked, overwhelmed, and they had no recourse. And all through it, Betty was with me, and all through it, I kept whispering, Betty, Betty, please, honey, get me to Shirley Ryan. Shirley Ryan Ability Labs. Please, Betty, get me to Shirley Ryan. And you know what? She did. And so I went to Shirley Ryan and immediately found an island of civility. There weren't, you know, gangsters and gangbangers screaming four-letter words and trying to kill each other right next to my bed. There was civility. And the staff of Shirley Ryan is always so helpful and kind. I don't think people understand this. This is just a simple thing, but it was really changing my life. They did so much for me there through physical therapy, the doctors, Dr. Harvey, Dr. Gilbert, the physical therapy that I had from Claire Thiessen and others. And I guess one thing that I tried to do was improve their cuisine, because I was bored watching the news on TV. I couldn't watch any more Fox News. It was boring because it was constantly cheerleading. I support the President Trump's decision to attack and obliterate Iran's missile capacity. But the incessant cheerleading coming from Fox News was rather depressing, and I've avoided it. I avoided CNN too for the same reason. They would say, Middle East expert. But what Middle East expert? They didn't identify they were from the IDF. It was like the Israeli Defense Forces were producing Fox News and CNN, and I just had to take a break. So I would read. I could read. I hadn't lost that ability. So I could read the American Conservative and other publications, and they worked me on the treadmill. I had to get on the treadmill with a harness. Take a step. Claire Thiessen worked me so hard, I was exhausted. To relieve the boredom, I tried to get Max, the language therapist. He liked Italian food, so I tried to get him to cook linguine agli olio, which is linguine with garlic and oil. And I talked to him, I coached him through it, and he did make it, and he really liked it. And I've sent a lot of them to the staff, to Joseph's Finest Meats, to get decent sausage, because, you know, there's a crime in Chicago land where people don't get decent Italian sausage. Can you imagine living like that? And so here I am, after all this, they finally let me out the other day. I came home. I have to shave, but I think of the great heroes that I relied on, Victor Davis Hanson, Dennis Prager. I want to thank everybody who has texted or tweeted or sent a message to me. I remember, I guess I put it out that I was at Shirley Ryan again, and there was a very kind woman who said to me that her son had been there and found strength there. And I want everybody to understand that we're not alone. No man goes through this world alone. As always, Jeff Carlin is here, executive producer, WGN Radio, my good friend, co-host for years at the Chicago Way. He's here. But where are you? As the fallout continues from the attack on Iran, and the election is coming, and I'm going to Shirley Ryan Homewood, where I plan on getting stronger every day. As you know, you're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
So, Jeff Carlin, it's good to be back.
Well, John Katz, it's good to have you back. You sound strong as ever. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I can't wait to get back to real work. I'm told that you've contacted or the lawyers for Judge James Brown, the Honorable Judge James Brown. We're going to have him soon.
Yeah, the big story there. I'm sure followers here have seen this. The judges filed, or lawyers on his behalf, rather, have filed a lawsuit after he was forced out to be removed from a volunteer situation. And it sounds like he's got a case. So he's going to come back here. We'll talk to him soon, see what the case is going on, give us the details on that. And I think your brother, too, your brother was kind enough to step in and record one of my favorite columns of yours and his as well. But I think he's trying to get the okay to talk to us, which should be great because, I mean, there's only stuff going on in the world.
I think that the last thing he wants to talk about is Iran. But
yeah, I'm sure. I more want to talk to him about the history of the region because I think, as we've seen, and anybody should notice, that history always repeats itself. And that's why I know you're, John, you are calling the action in Iran necessary. And I've grown up in a lifetime where I've been told that over and over again. And U.S. has been relatively safe in my lifetime, so except for, like, you know, 9/11. But aside from that, for the most part, been pretty safe. So I don't know. I'm take it with a grain of salt. Yeah, I don't like unilateral presidential military action. This happens a lot in my lifetime.
I don't either, Jeff. But I'm wondering if you were the president, would you call Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar to a meeting and tell them what you're about to do? Would you do that? This is a test for everyone to see if I've actually lost my mind.
I mean, I don't. I appreciate the question, but I don't understand the point. I mean, I'm not the president. I don't understand. In my world, doesn't change that. I think
you were upset. You were not in favor of unilateral moves,
right? But so, I mean, so is the implication there that they are spies for Iran? I mean, is that's the implication? I don't understand. I mean, the Constitution is pretty straightforward in powers of war, and we skirt it with this idea of, you know, imminent threat is a kind of a key word that's been thrown around my whole lifetime.
I agree.
So anyway, I've been, you know, fool me once, shame on me, you know.
What drove me out of the Republican Party was George Bush and his endless forever wars. I couldn't stand that. But I see this thing, Iran, as constant threats to the region. They attacked.
Sure.
They attacked the peaceful or almost somewhat peaceful state of other Gulf states. And we couldn't allow it to continue. My problem is the media telling the story constantly. It's like they're letting, who's producing this? The Israeli Defense Forces are producing Fox News and CNN.
You definitely nailed it there, John. It would be perffect for them to do it, work it both ways.
If I were Israeli, I would push for it too, because they've been attacked, slaughtered, and the world really hasn't, supported them. October 7th happened, and the next day here in Illinois or in the United States, we had these wretched, angry women screaming from the river to the sea, blah, blah, blah. And I would be incensed if I had experienced that or my family had been slaughtered in the kibbutzes of Israel. So.
Oh, I mean, there's plenty of bad things going around and bad people. Right. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Iranian regime leadership, as it stands and has stood since the 70s, is a bad group, and that do have no one's interests but oppression and power and terror is their tool to achieve that. And on paper, I totally support the idea that Iran needs to. If Iran was as a happy-go-lucky place as it was in the 60s, then the world would be a better place.
When they had the Shah, and if you stepped out of line, you were beaten, apparently.
Well, nothing's changed except that the rest of the world
it's the Middle East. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Hey, history repeats itself there. So, I get time will tell us. I agree, John. I think that I just can't. You nailed it. The idea of people being played both sides. You've got this expert and that expert, and I think looking at it in real time and trying to quantify it as a net positive or net negative is fool's errand at best. And that I think more along the lines of what your brother does is to kind of look at the history of the region and similar actions and similar interests at play and see what happens afterwards and what comes next. And hey, there's no way, and I would keep telling my father this and people who I talk to, there's no way the U.S., a full-scale invasion of Iran is coming by the U.S. or any sort of coalition force.
No.
Mostly because of the geography of the region. If anybody knows anything about Iran, it's pretty well protected by mountains, if not entirely impenetrable by mountains.
Well, so, airplanes can fly over mountains.
You can bomb things, right? But I'm talking about a full-scale invasion akin to Iraq or Afghanistan or Cuba. It's not gonna, that's not gonna, the future is not gonna happen that way because the history never happens that way. The same people have controlled that part of the world for thousands of years for a reason. That then leads me to believe that this is pretty much just a punch and stab kind of activity like we did in Venezuela. And again, it all comes down to the idea, do I want presidents have the power to act in this manner? I said I've been safe my whole life. We're not under threat of war on our soil, conventionally speaking. So they've been right so far. I just again fall back on the idea that we've always seen that there's ultimately ulterior motives, and we'll see what happens here.
Well, we're protected by two oceans on either side.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has to make their own decision. I know two things to be true. One is that subscribers to John Cass News have access to a good cup of common sense. And to go with that cup of common sense is the perfect cup of coffee. Ribby Coffee. It's never bitter, air roasted and customized. It's the best coffee around. RibbyCoffee.com. That's K-R-I-B-I-Coffee.com. If you're near Forest Park or Oak Park, be sure to stop by one of the Cribby cafes where you can order ahead and earn points on the easy-to-use Cribby Coffee app. Yeah, there's an app. The Cribby Coffee app makes it easy to get your favorite air-roasted coffee faster than ever. Earn points on every purchase toward free drinks and freshly roasted coffee. Customize your order, pay with Google Pay or Apple Pay, and skip a line. Your daily coffee just got a whole lot smoother. Of course, if you can't make it to the cafe, you can always order your favorite air-roasted coffee sent directly to your door. My favorite is the Mount Oku from Cameroon. You pick the beans, you customize the roast and the grind, and they send it right to your door. Want Cribby Roast delivered on your schedule? Subscribe to save 15% on your first order and 10% on every refill. Did I mention they offer K-Cups too? Ribby Coffee. RibbyCoffee.com. That's K-R-I-B-I-Coffee.com. Proud sponsor of Jodcast News and the Chicago Way podcast. Cheers. I do have one happy thing.
Yes, John.
If you're like me and you can't sleep because you're thinking of news that you're not watching and you've decided you can't stand watching it,
if you just watch less of it, John, I guarantee you'll sleep better.
Yeah, well, I have found an alternative. It's called Audible.
Yes.
I pick novels, you know, Cormac McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to Harry Potter in my hospital bed.
Oh, okay.
That's a little unknown factoid of Casso's life.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, it's on par. It's on brand for you, John, because
it's brand for me to engage in fantasy.
I mean, you're a fan of Narnia, aren't you? The witch, yes, in the cupboard or wardrobe or whatever. So, I mean, I don't think it's a big step to move to Harry Potter.
Well,
but Audible is great. I do. I'm listening to a book about the Sumerians right now, the history of the Sumerians.
Oh, that's nice. Is that the do they use bronze on their chariots?
Oh, and then some. Yeah, it's quite fascinating and quite advanced.
I can't wait to hear all about it.
I won't bore you with a book report on it, but there is some good stuff on there, John. You should check out. It is offensive and wild and very much just a trip. Is Norm MacDonald's memoir.
The comedian?
Yeah, he passed away, I think, 2 years ago or a year ago. And he is just bizarre, but his writing style is unique, and it's a very interesting read because he reads it to you. It's a trip. I don't know how to explain it. It's like one part PI novel, one part hit biography, one part like running joke, one part collection of his jokes. It's just, it's unlike anything else I've ever read. It's very weird.
What is the name of it? And does he read it?
He reads it. So it's narrated by Norm MacDonald. And then there's someone else plays another character in it within it. It's called Based on a True Story, not a memoir. Mm-hmm. Which is just right. And so it's a running joke in its own sense, and it's very Norm MacDonald. It's his life told. Parts of it are certainly true. Parts of it are part of this kind of tapestry of his life that he interweaves into other characters that are not. It's good. It's weird.
I'm gonna go find it.
Yeah, it's on Audible. It's quality. It's well done, and I recommend it just because it's unlike anything else you ever read.
And the tragedy of, or the not tragedy, but the novels of Cormac McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff, what's next for the Chicago Way? I guess I got to write something. Should I write about this weekend from hell? I think it's a good topic.
Sure. I mean, write what you know, right? That's what they always say.
That's what they say, yeah. You know, I got one of my nurses, Rob Gemmelo, was a fan of mine. Mm-hmm. He'd read my stuff. He liked it. He was interested in the lecture to Hillsdale College, and thanks to Dr. Arndt for letting that happen. And Rob was so supportive, and I asked him You know, I remember just the other night I was in my hospital room. I said, you know, you traveled with Victor Davis Hanson to two different sites. One, Bastogne, World War II, and the other, the Mycenaean ruins near Santorini. And I asked him, please write, I would be honored if you would write something to me, if you would write for John Cass News. And this, I want everyone to know this, everyone who's listening. You might have a story in you. You might think, like I'm saying you're a paramedic, you're a police officer, you're a firefighter. You have some stories and you've heard them and you want to tell them. Well, you could write them for John Cass News. Just put it in an email, send it to john@johncassnews, and I'd be honored to read it and consider it if it's worthy, and I'm sure it will be, for publication. The last one to do that was Steve Huntley. He wrote about Trump's State of the Union speech, mm-hmm. and was picked up by Real Clear Politics and by Powerline Blog.
All right.
The same day, a daily double for columnists.
I love it. Well done.
So everyone, just know I'm in at Homewood. I'm on the treadmill. They put me in a harness so I won't flip on my head. And I got plenty of sweating to do. They give me word problems to figure, you know, to help me with my verbal abilities. I hope it doesn't sound as if I was that impaired, but, you know, who knows?
No, you sound good, John. Good to have you.
And I'm still busy teaching my health staff about making a good spaghetti or linguine aglio olio. And I tell them to go to Joseph's and get some sausage. What else is there,
John? Well, of course, you also get a warm cup of creepy coffee. John, you're behind on mutsa-ing. We got to figure out a mutsa.
That was so terrible of me, but, you know, with the stroke, I mean, I guess I get a dispensation from that, right?
Special dispensation.
MRIs, stroke, et cetera, hole in the head, all the moots information falling up from that hole onto the ground. I can't help it. We'll have to do something, or maybe do a big next month. What is it? We're in March now.
I know, but yeah, so we need it. We'll discuss February for next time.
All right, then. We will. For Jeff Garland, executive producer, WGN Radio. For John Cass, editor-in-chief of John Cass News. For all of you listening, who've been listening and thinking, can he even make a sentence? Can he even speak words? And of course, you've been disabused of that because as I told my language therapist, in my mind, I am sitting near a fire with a red leather wing chair as Alistair Cook. And I'm working to recover that as well. Join us again next time for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.